our ties actually go further back than when I was facilities manager. I worked weeks of camp with your son Eric, that's what I was just going to say. We will leave it right there. But it was fun. It was exciting, and we have been in camp ministry for many years in one form or another, and are excited to be back at Rock Lake serving as camp director and at that ministry. I was in Missouri. We were in Missouri for 5.5 years at a camp out there, and one of the things I discovered at High Hill was that if the camp manager can get into the churches so people get to know him, it's easier getting money out of the churches. But that's another matter. When we were at High Hill, when we left there, we were running 1,200 students through the camp for a summer camp. And in a summer camp that was about 2 weeks shorter than our camp here. So it can be done. We can bolster the numbers. We have discovered some ways to do that, and we will be implementing those as we move forward. I do want to defend the Rock the Lake event, though. I want to apologize, Ralph and Sonia, for maybe keeping you up at night. But that wasn't my fault. That was my production guy's fault and the equipment that he thought he had to bring in for that event. When we picked up the headline group from the airport and brought them in, and they come out to the camp that night, on a Friday night, they wanted a closed sound check. And I looked at them, and we're standing out in the middle of a field with equipment that will blast the music over here if they wanted to, probably. And I looked at them, and I said, how in the world are we going to do a closed sound check unless we don't turn the equipment on? Everybody's going to hear us anyway. So that was kind of weird, but that's professional musicians are kind of strange sometimes as well. I don't know who did this, but kudos. You did a great job. This is awesome, and if you ever want to come out to the camp at any time and decorate, you're welcome to do that. That's one of the things that we want to focus on as we move forward at the camp, is making the camp a place of fun and excitement for all involved. I'm going to read to you this morning from the 145th Psalm, and I'm actually going to read verses 1 through 7. But we're going to focus on verse 4 in the message. So beginning at verse 1, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. That's kind of my preference. All preachers have their pet Bible that they like to use, but I prefer the New American Standard. So Psalm 145, beginning at verse 1. I will extol you, God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. You shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness, and you will shout joyfully for your righteousness. When I was in the Air Force in 76 to 1980, our first duty station was in Germany. We got shipped to Germany. Pam and the kids came over, and we lived in a little town nestled in the Hunsrück mountain range called Peterswald, Germany. And the cool thing about living there was that the flight pattern from the Air Force base that we were stationed at took the jets right over our city, our little village. It wasn't a city, it was a village. And as they came up through the mountains, the mountain range, as they left the Air Force base, they come up through the mountain range, and they were not, their altitude was still quite low when they went over our village. You could hear them coming for the moment they left the base. And then as as they roared overhead, I'm losing my mic, sorry, as they roared overhead, the villagers would stop whatever they were doing. Didn't matter if they were milking cows, shoveling manure, cleaning chickens, it didn't matter. They stopped what they were doing and watched for these F-4 fighter jets to come in. You see, our Air Force Base, Hahn Air Force Base, was the first line of defense for Germany. And so we had aircraft that were on the ready all the time, loaded with all the bombs and everything that they could put on those things. And they scrambled them almost daily to intercept and to check things out. And so when they took off and they come roaring up the valley, the villagers of Peterswald would turn towards the base and they would wait and they would watch. They could hear them coming. And as they roared overhead, they would turn and watch them go by. And then they would turn back and they would wait for the echo of the sound to come back to them. It was incredible to hear, and it was incredible to experience the awesome power and the might of those three F-4s when they flew over Peterswald. In our text today, I think the psalmist David is encouraging us as his people to be echoes. Echoes of our faith. Echoes of what we stand for and what we believe in. And I think as Christians, it is our duty to share that faith in a loud way so that it echoes to every generation after us. That the young people of our churches and of our communities will be able to hear the mighty acts of God as they roar past us. You know, I've heard it said many times from young generation people that God's word just isn't relevant today, and it was not written for our day and age. I got news for you. God doesn't drop a new Bible out of the heavens for every generation. Scripture says it's going to be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Nothing's going to change. God's word is forever. It's true. But we have not been echoing our faith perhaps the way we should be, so that the younger generations can see and hear the power and the might that God puts forth in our lives. We need a generation of young people who want to obey and trust and rejoice in who God really is. That's one of the things about camp ministry that really helps open your eyes to what's going on in our society. You know, the kids come in on Sunday afternoon, they check in, and they're all excited about camp. They get their bunks assignments and get their stuff thrown on their bunk, and then they go down to the lake and do their swim test. And, you know, the Sunday evening rolls around, dinner comes by, and then the evening program. And then the next morning on Monday, things really start to get going as the lessons take place, and they get in their family groups and they break down and they look at Scripture. And by the end of the week, many of those young people are really excited about what they have heard about and what they have seen and what they have experienced. Some of them so excited that they even make decisions for Jesus or decide they want to be immersed into Christ in the lake. But then as the years go by and you see these young people come back year after year, and as they grow older, things are not quite the same in their life. That spark that they had initially is not as bright as it was. Their behavior is not, what it should be, perhaps. The way they look at life has been altered and changed. The things they consider to be truth are not found in Scripture, but are found more in the teachings of men. The New King James Version says, one generation will praise, one generation will praise your works. The NIV says it this way, one generation will command your works. And then if you've ever read the literal Hebrew translation, it says it this way, from generation to generation, praise thy works and thy mighty acts they declare. We need to get back to this type of lifestyle, this way of thinking, where we're going to echo our faith, sharing what God has done in our life so that the younger people, as they come up through the ranks, can understand that God really is who Scripture says He is. You know, often we come to church and we look forward to the praise time of church where we can sing songs. Well, praise is more than just singing songs. The praise of our faith is more than just coming together corporately and singing wonderful songs of praise to God. It's more than that. Praise is our exaltation in God and of God every day of our life. It's not enough just to teach the next generation about God, but rather we need to show them. They need to experience Him in how we live and how we conduct ourselves. John Piper says it this way. He says, teachers and parents who do not exalt over God in their teaching will not bring about exaltation in God to their students and children. And then he goes on to say, dry, indifferent teaching about God, whether it's at home or at the church, is only a half-truth. It says one thing about God, but portrays another. Chapter 4 of the text that I read, one generation is supposed to praise God and God's works to the next generation. Are we doing that? Are we doing that the way we should be? I was trying to find some statistics on the Churches of Christ, Christian Church movement, and I was having a hard time finding them, so I went to another organization called the Southern Baptist Church. Now, if you have any knowledge about the Southern Baptist Church, that's a pretty big organization. I've experienced the Southern Baptist being that I've preached in Alabama and Florida, and they can preach. Southern Baptist guys know how to preach. But they did a study. The Southern Baptist Church did a study. And they soaked a lot of money into this research for this study. And they discovered that there are over, are you ready for this? There are over 16 million members in the Southern Baptist denomination. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? 16 million is a pretty good number. Over 16. But what they found in their research was that only about 6 million regularly attend church on Sunday. That doesn't sound like 10,000 or 10 million people echoing their faith very well, does it? Does not bode well for that organization when only 6 million go to church regularly. Through that study, they discovered that if the Southern Baptist Church did not begin to replenish its members with younger people, the next generation, you know, they were going to have some very serious problems as they began to experience the retiring of their preachers and deacons and other members in leadership positions. The church was going to be in a tight spot. Have people filling those roles if they didn't get busy. It's all about echoing our lives to others so that they can see and hear our desire to honor our God. And so I believe with all my heart that as a church and as God's people, we've got to be recommitted every day, every week, to teaching and showing our young pitch children and our grandchildren who God is, with the hopes that they will one day surrender to Jesus and in turn become committed to his cause and be able to share their echo as well. I don't know if you follow the news much, but just last week a story came out of Texas about a school in Texas that had given a junior high class an assignment. And it bothered one of the young ladies in that school class, so she went to the school board later that week and brought it up before the school board. Complaint about her teacher and the lesson that she had given the class. She had told the class that the assignment was going to be that the class was to deny the existence of God. Can you believe that? Coming out of the public school system. This young lady's name is Jordan Woolley, and she attends the West Memorial Junior High School in Texas. And she said the statement came out of the teacher during a class reading assignment in which, as they were reading different statements and different facts, they were to mark on the list whether they were opinion, a factual claim, or a commonplace assertion. And one of those statements was, there is a God. So as the students began to do the assignment, some of the students began to mark next to the statement, there is a God, that it was a factual claim. And as the teacher walked around and looked over their shoulders while they're doing the lesson, she noticed that some of them were marking that way, and she began to confront them, asking them if they wanted to change their answer before they turned in the assignment, because if they left it the way it was, they were going to get it marked wrong, and they would fail the assignment. She informed these young people who were marking the fact that it was a factual statement that they were completely wrong, and if they began to ask her why and seek an answer from her, she just said because and would not let them defend their answer. So I think as a church and as a society, we have got to be an echo now more than ever. We have got to get out there and yell at the top of our lungs. I was going to come in this morning and scream and see if I could get an echo. I really thought about doing that, but I thought, no, they'd think I'm nuts, so I better not. But that's what we've got to do. We have got to be yelling at the top of our lungs and demonstrating why we believe that in God and who he is and what he's done in our life. This gentleman over here who reported 2 strokes this week, he's got a great opportunity to be an echo. Proclaiming the praise of God, getting him through that setback in his health and bringing him back. What a great way to be an echo to those around him, to the younger generations who are looking at God as just a, yeah, okay, if that's what you want to believe. We need to be about being an echo. Rock Lake has a history of being committed to sharing solid biblical truth to our students when they come in. And over the years, that has been done. But we only have them for 5 days out of the week. And then they go back. And they go back to school when summer camp is over, and they begin to be bombarded by different teachings. And if we're not the echo that we need to be, where's the next generation going to get their strength and support from? Where are the next generation of solid biblical teachers and believers coming from? They're not going to fall off the trees. They're not going to grow in our gardens. And I know there would be some who would say, well, don't worry about it. God will provide those people. And I believe that he will do that. But that doesn't take the onus off of us. We still have an obligation to be committed to reflecting and sharing our gospel truths so that the next generation can praise God's works to the generation behind them. Someone has said that you're only one generation away from extinction. You know, Hitler had a firm belief that if he could capture the minds of the youth, he could control the country. And he came awfully darn close to that, didn't he? Our youth need to be careful how they think. Political correctness is almost always wrong, regardless of what you think about being politically correct. It's almost always wrong because it goes against morality. It goes against what God's word teaches. It goes against the way life ought to be lived. Because being a Christian is more than just thinking right. Being a Christian is about feeling, it's about having a right feeling about the kingdom of God. It's about living a life that is right before God and not conforming to this world. One of the songs said we're to love God, we're to honor Him with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength. And that's certainly true. Because being a Christian and being the echo that God expects us to be requires our very being, our whole being, everything about us. Not just on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings or Wednesday nights or whatever. It means being a Christian completely sold out for Him. We have to be able to share facts with people, young people. The facts of God's Word that are true. Be able to share them with them so that they will be strengthened and encouraged to follow Jesus to the best of their ability. How do we do it? How do we win them back? How do we recapture the minds of our youth? How do we convince them that everything they hear at school or in college or at their workplace is not always true? It's not always correct. Political correctness has been the downfall of so many organizations, so many churches, because political correctness is very detrimental to the next generation, to the church, to society, and to our world. And if you don't believe that, just follow the news now. See where we're at. Look at what's going on around us. So how do we convince the younger generations that God's word is true, that it ought to be a part of our life? By being echoes, plain and simple. By looking at our life, by examining our faith and seeing if it is strong and on course the way it should be. Sharing it with those younger generations. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 7 says this, and I'm going to read it from another translation because it just says a little differently, but it's the voice, and it says this. And I could put in here, listen, it says, listen, Israel. I could put in there the name of the church or anything, but it says, listen, Israel, the Eternal One is our true God, and He alone. Do you agree with that? Do you buy that? You should love Him, your true God, with all your heart and soul, with every ounce of your strength. Make the things I'm commanding you today part of your life, part of who you are. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you're sitting together in your home and when you're walking together down the road. Make them the last thing you talk about before you go to bed and the first thing you talk about the next morning. You know what the writer of Deuteronomy is saying? Be an echo. Be an echo of your faith. Psalm 78, verses 5 and through 7, is the recording of Asaph as he repeats to Jacob the things that God laid down for the nation. He says, his teaching to the people of Israel, which he instructed our fathers to pass down to their children, so that the coming generation would know him by heart, even the children who are not yet born, so that they might, listen to this, so that they might one day stand up and teach them to their children. Tell them to put their confidence and hope in God and never forget the wondrous things he has done. They should obey his commandments always. Now, I'm not trying to be hard on our younger generations, but they don't buy into the validity of Scripture anymore. They don't necessarily believe that it's ultimate truth. Many of them believe that it's pretty good stuff, but if it affects my life and it stops me from living the way I want to live, I'm not going to believe it. And I can share examples of that with you later if you'd like. We are to be echoes of God's word in a generation that is losing their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? Well, it's not hard. It's just be available. Just be there. You know, one of the things that we do every night at camp, they close out the day by having a campfire out behind the lodges, and the kids come together and they circle around the fire and they just sing some songs, and then there's a devotional lesson given. And afterwards, typically the deans will have the kids break out into their family groups, and during that time they ask for prayer and if they have any questions on the events of the day. And 9 times out of 10, the kids will ask questions about what they learned that day. They're asking questions about, is God real? Can I trust Scripture? You can walk from group to group and you hear this going on all the time. Our young people are looking. They're hungry. They want answers. And we can help them by being echoes of our faith in their life. Because I can assure you that the devil attacks these young people the minute they leave the camp. They're after them once again to try to get them to doubt what they just learned. And if we fail to echo our faith as the older generation, we fail our Lord Jesus Christ, because we're instructed and encouraged to share with the next generation. And so just like the flyovers, the F-4s flying over Peterswald, Germany, coming up through the valley of the Hunsrück Mountains and producing this powerful, awe-inspiring echo, we too must be echoing our faith in the same way. So the kids leave no doubt in their mind that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And it's only through that example in our lives that we will keep them focused, because they're being challenged every day. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this day, the opportunity that we can come together as brothers and sisters, believers in Jesus, and the opportunity to echo our faith to the next generation. There are young people in every church today who are hearing and being taught about Jesus. And that's great. That's wonderful. They need to know. They need to be able to learn about Jesus through Scripture. But Father, help those of us sitting here today and in churches everywhere to be echoes, that our faith would resound loudly to them around us as they witness how we live and how we conduct our businesses, how we answer criticisms, and how we love one another. Father, may we always echo our faith in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to have a hymn of decision. And if you've never made a decision for Christ, maybe today's that day that you'd like to surrender to him and be immersed into Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Or maybe you're just thinking, hey, something he said hit me a little bit there, and maybe my faith isn't as loud as it should be. You could take this time to rededicate your commitment to serving and honoring him that way as well. As we stand and sing this hymn, number 332.